بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the chapter on the chapter 16 on the book of Tawheed, and we are going now to the hadith texts which the author rahimahullah cited regarding the issue of the fear of the angels and when they hear the word of Allah, and how this is related to the issue of people magnifying others and take them as partners besides Allah in worship. So he cited the following hadith from An-Nawas bin Sam'an. An-Nawas bin Sam'an radiyallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد الله تعالى أن يوحي بالأمر تكلم بالوحي أخذت السماوات منه رجفة أو قال رعدة شديدة خوفا من الله عز وجل، فإذا سمع ذلك أهل السماوات صعقوا وخروا لله سجدا، فيكون أول من يرفع رأسه جبريل فيكلمه الله من وحيه بما أراد، ثم يمر جبريل على الملائكة كلما مر بسماء سأله ملائكتها ماذا قال ربنا يا جبريل، فيقول قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير، فيقولون كلهم مثل ما قال جبريل، فينتهي جبريل بالوحي إلى حيث أمره الله عز وجل. This is the hadith which he cited, and the translation of the meaning of this hadith. Is that when Allah wishes to reveal something to man, he speaks out the words to be revealed. At this the heavens shake strongly in fear of him. When the words of Allah fall upon the inhabitants of heaven, they are taken by shock and fall prostrate. The first of them to raise his head is the angel Jibril, whom Allah speaks out of the revelation what he wishes. Then Jibril passes by the other angels, in different heavens, and is asked at each station, "What did your Lord say, O Jibril?" He answers, "He said the truth. He is the Most High, the Most Great." And all repeat the same after him. Then Jibril moves on. Then Jibril moves on to the destination with the revelation to where commanded by Allah the Most High. Now, first of all, this hadith was mentioned by Ibn Kathir from one narration, from Ibn Abi Hatim, And he mentioned a defect in this narration. What is this defect? Is that in the chain of the narrators, there is Al-Walid bin Muslim. One of the narrators. And Al-Walid, Muslim. And Al-Walid bin Muslim is a mudallis. What does this mean? Al-Walid bin Muslim is a mudallis. A mudallis in the narration is one who narrates from someone he met. He narrates from him something he did not hear from. And here Al-Walid bin Muslim is a mudallis, and he reported it from his sheikh by using the mode an. From so and so. Direct audition. And you see this, he is a mudallis, and at the same time he used this mod an from his sheikh. Now he is narrating therefore from his sheikh by using the mod an. And in hadith, the narration of a mudallis is not accepted if he narrates by saying an. Why? Because an, from, means that the mudallis is just mentioning the name of a narrator who narrated something. He does not clarify if he has heard from the narrator himself or from some other person who is concealed. You see, he has to say something that confirms his hearing from the narrator from whom he is narrating. And in this way, the reliability of the narrator will not be concealed anymore. And if he doesn't, yes, if he doesn't, then in this case there is weakness in the hadith. You understand? And it is the case. In this case, there is weakness in the hadith because he reported it from his sheikh. He reported it from him using the word, the mod an. He reported it using the word an or the mod an. طيب. However, Muslim, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Naam, alhamdulillah. And Ahmad, they reported from the hadith of Ibn Abbas a narration which could be in meaning supporting this narration. Shahid in text, a support in text, where it is reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks the revelation, the carriers of the throne would hear it and they will make tasbih. Then the inhabitants of each heaven will hear it and they make tasbih, as the people of the seventh heaven made the tasbih, until it reaches the lower heaven, And there the jinn, those eavesdroppers, snatch, or the shayateen snatch it. Although in this report by Muslim and Ahmad there is no mentioning of the shaking of the and the trembling of the heavens or the prostration, but it indicates that there is an origin for this hadith, that there is an origin for this hadith of An-Nawas. Now, in this narration, إذا تكلم إذا أراد الله, if Allah intends to reveal something. تكلم بالوحي. Listen carefully. تكلم بالوحي. He speaks out the revelation. So here we have a conditional statement. Right? If Allah or when Allah, there is a conditional statement which necessitates that what is conditioned follows the condition, that the condition, in other words, precedes what is condition, what is conditioned. So in this case, the intention preceded, right? When Allah, you see, wishes or intends. So the intention, right, preceded, right? And al-kalam, the speech, followed, comes afterwards. You see this point? You see that? When Allah wishes to reveal something, He speaks out. You see that? How about the others? And in this therefore, there is a response and refutation to the Ash'arites. Why? Because the Ash'arites say that Allah does not speak with an intent Rather, his speech is eternal. Eternal. Like his hearing, like his sight. You see that? And in this case, therefore, this hadith affirms the speech of Allah. Allah speaks as He wishes, in the way He wishes, and as He wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever He intends to speak. You understand? So therefore, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal in quality, but individual occurrences occur in accordance to His will. You see that? Whenever He wills, as He wishes, and whatever He wishes to speak. Is that clear? Is that clear? طيب. And who are the Ash'arites? Many times we mention the name the Ash'arites. The Ash'arites are the followers of Abu'l-Hasan al-Ash'ari. The Ash'arites are the followers of Abu'l-Hasan al-Ash'ari. They claim, who was in origin, he was a Mu'tazilite. Then he left the Mu'tazilite sect and adopted a way between the Mu'tazilites and Ahl-Sunnah. But in his last age, he returned to the creed of Ahl-Sunnah correctly and followed Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal way or creed. Some of his followers, however, still remained on his previous beliefs. They remained on his previous beliefs. These are the Ash'arites. Now, so therefore, this is a perfect attribute of Allah, the speech, and He speaks with words, letters, and sounds. And while the Ash'arites, they say that the speech is a meaning established in Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not the creed of Ahl Sunnah. The creed of Ahl Sunnah is that the speech of Allah is real and true. He speaks as He wishes, whenever He wishes, and He speaks with words. And these are words having letters and sounds. Okay. Then in this hadith, أخذت السماوات منه رجفة, the heavens tremble, are shaken, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, the most great. Everything fears Allah, the most high, even the heavens, which may have no spirit, which doesn't have a spirit. The heavens fear Allah, the most great, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, فَإِذَا سَمِعَ ذَلِكَ أَهْلُ السَّمَوَاتِ صُعِقُوا وَخَرُّوا لِلَّهِ سُجَّدًا. When the people of the heavens hear that, when the words of Allah fall upon the inhabitants of the heavens, they are taken by shock, or they are sworn. They are sworn. And they will fall in prostration. Now, if someone asks the question, how could it be that they are sworn and then fall in prostration? The answer, that their shock or being sworn, Allah knows best, takes place before the sujood, before the prostration. So if they are, become conscious, they prostrate. And when they become conscious, after the shock, they prostrate. So who will be the first to raise his head? فَيَكُونُ أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ جِبْرِيل. Jibreel alayhi salam will be the first to raise his head, Gabriel. فَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَحِيهِ بِمَا أَرَادْ. Allah speaks out of revelation to what He wishes, to him, to Jibreel. So Allah speaks بمشيئته, as he wills. ثم يمر جبريل على الملائكة. Then Jibril passes by the other angels. Because he intends to descend from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wherever Allah commands him. To reveal or convey the revelation. كلما مر بسماء سأله ملائكتها ماذا قال ربنا يا جبريل. Jibril passes by the other angels and in different heavens and is asked at each, if he passes through a different heaven, it's asked, the angels ask him, what has our Lord revealed, O Jibril? فيقول قال الحق. He answers, he has spoken the truth. And he is the most high, the most great. وهو العلي الكبير. So Jibril does not tell the angels as to what Allah revealed to him. Remember, he only says, قال الحق. He only answers, he has spoken the truth. So this is concealed. He doesn't tell them. Why? Because this is why Jibril is referred to as Al-Amin, the entrusted. And Al-Amin is the one who does not disclose the secret. وهو العلي الكبير. And he is the most high, the most great. فيقولون كلهم, فيقولون كلهم مثل ما قال جبريل. So they all will repeat the same after what Jibril has said after him. فينتهي جبريل بالوحي إلى حيث أمره الله تعالى. And then Jibril proceeds to the destination commanded by Allah. Moves on to the destination with the revelation. To where? Commanded by Allah the Most High. Meaning, he relates it, conveys it to the prophets and messengers. The benefits of this hadith. The first, affirming the will that Allah wills and intends, and that the will of Allah is of two types, shar'iyya, legal, and kawniyya, universal. Shar'iyya, legal, and kawniyya, universal. The difference between them. First, in terms of what they are related to. The difference between al-irada al-shar'iyya, the legal will, and al-irada al-kawniyya, the universal will, is in terms of what they are related to. The legal will, al-irada al-shar'iyya, is linked to that which Allah loves, whether it takes place or it doesn't. You understand? It relates to that which Allah loves, whether it takes place or it doesn't. Okay, so make note of that, inshallah, and think about it carefully, because we need to discuss it further. As to the kawniyya, universal will, it relates to that which takes place, occurs, whether it is something that Allah loves or something which Allah does not love. Okay, so it is mere occurrence. You understand? This is the first difference. This is the first difference between the two. The second difference in terms of the ruling. Meaning in terms of the manifestation of what is intended. There is difference. the legal or al-irada shar'iyya does not necessitate the occurrence of what is intended. Does not necessitate the occurrence of what is intended. As to the al-irada al-kawniyya, al-irada al-kawniyya, the universal will, then it necessitates the occurrence of what is intended. It necessitates the occurrence of what is intended. For example, take in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 26. قال الله تعالى والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم. Allah wishes to make clear what is lawful and what is unlawful to you. And Allah wills to make clear what is lawful and what's unlawful to you. This is a legal will. How do we conclude that this is a legal will? Because had it been a universal will, Allah would have what? Allah would have forgave, Allah would have forgiven all mankind. Bestowed repentance upon all mankind. يتوب عليكم, to bestow tawbah on you. Also in terms of what it necessitates, it refers to that which Allah loves, right? Allah loves tawbah, right? Allah loves tawbah. Now, so this is legal will. This is legal will. You see that? This is a legal will. Take another one is Surah Hud. In Surah Hud 11:34. إن كان الله يريد أن يغويكم. If Allah wills, will is to keep you astray. If Allah will is to keep you astray. This is universal. This is kawni. Why? Because Allah does not legally intend to keep you astray. You see? But universally and by His pre-decree, He may intend that. He may intend it. He make it come to exist. He make it pass, bring it to existence. Is that clear now, the difference between the two? طيب. The second benefit. The creatures. Although some are inanimate bodies, they feel the greatness of the Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah stated in Surah Al-Isra 17:44, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. The seven heavens and the earth and all that is therein make tasbih, glorify Him. And there is not a thing but glorifies His praise. But you understand not their glorification. Truly, Allah, He is ever forbearing, oft forgiving. Clear? The third benefit. Affirming that the angels speak and understand and have intellect. How? Because they asked. They asked, ماذا قال ربكم? What did your Lord say? What has our Lord revealed? ماذا قال ربكم? What did your Lord say? And they will be answered as He spoke the truth. This is in contrast to those who said that they don't possess these attributes. Their saying necessitates
that we receive the Sharia from those who have no intellect. And in this there is an insult to the Sharia without any doubt. You understand? The fourth, affirming that the heavens are more than one. That there are a number of heavens. And this is taken from Jibreel passes by the angels. And every time he passes through a different heaven. And the fifth benefit is that for each heaven there are special angels. Because here it said, and every time he passes through a different heaven, its angels ask. Its angels ask. The sixth benefit, the merit of Jibreel alayhi salam. The merit of Jibreel alayhi salam, who is known for keeping the trust of the revelation. And that's why Waraqa bin Nawfal. Waraqa bin Nawfal. Who is Waraqa bin Nawfal? Who is Waraqa bin Nawfal? Cousin of Khadija. Yes. Tayyib. He said, describing him as Hatha, this is Huwa al-Namus Alladhi kana ya'ti Musa. He is al-Namus. Which used to come to Musa. Who used to come to Musa. To Moses alayhi salam. And al-Namus in Hebrew, meaning Sahib al-Sir. The one entrusted with the secret. Al-Namus in Hebrew is the one who is entrusted in the secret. Seventh benefit. Seventh benefit. The trust of Jibreel alayhi salam, trustworthiness, where he takes and conveys the wahi, the revelation, to whom he is commanded to take. And in this, there is a response to the Rafida, the Kafir Rafida. The Kafir Rafida meaning those who said that Jibreel was commanded to convey the revelation to Ali bin Abi Talib, but he conveyed it rather to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, anyone from the Rafida who holds to this creed, this is a creed of kufr, of disbelief. And they say, Khan al-Amin. Khan al-Amin. The trustworthy one, Khan. What does it mean, Khan? Committed treason. And so, he kept it from Haydara. Haydara, this is a nick of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Why Ali bin Abi Talib? Ali bin Abi Talib, he used to say in the Battle of Khaybar, he used to say, أنا الذي سمتني أمي حيدرة. I am the one whom my mother named me حيدرة. And in this there is contradiction. Contradiction in their sayings. Why? Because when they said Khan al-Amin, the trustworthy one committed treason, you know, describing him with trustworthiness necessitate what? The lack of treason, isn't it? And this is contradiction on their part. طيب. The eighth benefit, affirming العزة والجلال. العزة والجلال, might and magnificence to Allah عز وجل. Because he said عز وجل, عز وجل. والعزة meaning power, overpowering. And Al-Aziz has three meanings. Al-Aziz has three meanings. Aziz meaning formidable. No one can harm. This is one meaning. The second Aziz is the one who has a high rank that no one can share with him. And Aziz also meaning the irresistible, overpowering. As to Al-Jalala, Al-Jalal meaning greatness. Above it there is no greatness. This is the meaning of Azza wa Jal. When you often hear, then remember that Azza, Al-Aziz. Allah is Al-Aziz, and Al-Aziz has three meanings. There are, the first one is Al-Aziz, Al-Aziz. Affirming Al-Izza, Izza, and Jalal. Azza wa Jal. There are cases, or there are issues here, which we have covered in this chapter. From that is the tafsir of the verse which the author cited, rahimahullah, as you remember in the first session, the tafsir of Surah Saba, chapter 34, verse 23, حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. Until when fear is banished from there, from the angels' hearts, the angels say, what is it that your Lord has said? They say the truth, and he is the most high, the most great. And we explained the meaning of this verse in the last discussion. The second matter is, this verse has an established proof on the nullification of shirk, in the sense that the angels, and the angels are known for their power and their might. They themselves, however, are taken by the shock, they swoon away, and they are frightened because of the magnificence of Allah Azza wa Jal. So how about, this is the point of linkage to the matter of Tawheed we're talking, that the book is all about. Then how about the Asnam, the idols that are worshipped besides Allah, which when compared to the angels, they are much, much, much less in might or power. So how is it that people are attached to them? So this is a nullification of these deities that are worshipped besides or to the exclusion of Allah. And that's why it is said that this ayah 34:23, هي التي تقطع عروق الشرك من القلب, is the verse that cuts the roots of shirk in the heart. Cuts the roots of shirk from the heart. That is because when man knows the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rabb, the Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, when the heavens tremble and are shocked and its inhabitants are sworn away, just when he speaks the revelation. So how then, how is it then that man
ascribes partners to Allah by having creatures which man himself may make. And we know that the ignorant of from the Arabs who used to make their gods from dates, whenever any one of them becomes hungry, he would eat them. And in the third matter, we learned the reason behind their asking, what is it that your Lord had said? Because the reason is the intense fear they were in. Why? Because they feared that he may have said something which they may not be able to tolerate from punishment. So that's why they were so frightened. And then we learned that Jibreel alayhi salam answered them that he said such and such, meaning the truth. And in this also there is mentioning that the one who will first raise his head will be Jibreel alayhi salam. And this is a merit to Jibreel. This is a merit to Jibreel, as we learned from the hadith of An-Nawas bin Sam'an, now which we have discussed. And also there is the greatness of Jibreel, because he tells all the inhabitants of the heavens, because they all ask him. And this is dalil, evidence for the greatness of Jibreel amongst the angels. And the matter, the eighth matter, is that the unconsciousness will cover all the inhabitants of the heavens when that takes place. The ninth matter is the trembling of the heavens upon hearing the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is for magnification of Him, the Most High. The tenth, Jibreel alayhi salam is the one who takes the revelation to where it is commanded. No one takes the responsibility of relating the revelation other than Jibreel, where he takes it to where Allah commanded him, because he is the trusted one on the revelation. The 11th is the eavesdropping of the heavenly words. Those snatchers who try to snatch the news and then they take it to convey it to the foretellers, and they add to it and they take from it. And we learned also the way these stealthy listeners hear the word and take it from the one to the one below and the second, and that they are on top of each other, as Sufyan rahimahullah described with his hand and his fingers in the previous hadith we discussed last time. Then the 13th is descending of the meteoroids, the flaming fire upon them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hijr 15:18, إلا من استرق السمع فأتبعه شهاب مبين. Except him, the devil that gains hearing by stealing, he is pursued by clear flaming fire. The 14th, sometimes the flaming fire may attain them before they relate or convey what they stole, and sometimes they convey it in the ear of their of the foretellers from the ins, from mankind, before the flaming fire reaches them. And the 15th matter is that the foreteller sometimes may say the truth, because he brings what was heard in heavens and he adds to it. And as you know, if whatever in the heavens is to occur from the news they had heard, then in this case he becomes what? Trusted, meaning truthful. You understand? And this is sometimes. And this is sometimes. And there is now a question. How could these eavesdroppers who try to snatch the words of the heavens, how do they hear these words while when the angels ask Jibreel, they are answered that Allah said the truth only. You understand this? You understand this mas'ala, this issue? You understand this point? Yeah, someone may raise this point and ask this question. The answer is that the wahi, the revelation is not known to the people of the heavens, to the inhabitants of the heavens, but it is from Allah to Jibreel, to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. You understand? This is one thing. As to the matters pertaining to the pre-decree, which Allah speaks, this is not particular to Jibreel. This may be known to the inhabitants of heavens in details. Then the stealthy listeners may hear it. You understand? So the wahi, the revelation, is not known by the inhabitants of heavens, but it is from Allah to Jibreel to the Prophet. As to the matters which are qadr, the matters of the pre-decree, which Allah may speak, this is not particular to Jibreel. It may be known by the inhabitants of the heavens in details. Then it may be heard by those stealthy listeners. The next benefit is, he adds to it 100 lies. This is by just as an exaggeration, not as a specification, as we mentioned this in the previous discussion. The 17th matter is, the foreteller does not say the truth except in that word which he have heard from the heavens. As to that which he says from himself, this is conjecture. All of it lies. He uses it to deceive people with them. The 18th benefit, that the human nature accepts, is tuned to the acceptance of al-batil, falsehood. So how this is concluded? That they cling to one word, but they don't cling to 100. You see that? They overlook the lies, the so many lies, but they only cling to that word which is the truth. And this is the case. But this is not something general for all people. This is rather applicable on people of ignorance and foolishness. They cling to the Kahin, the foreteller, because he spoke the truth once. And as to the 100 lies, they don't even consider it. And there is no doubt that some fools are deceived by something beneficial, but overwhelmed by corruption. But this is not the case with the people of faith and intellect. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's saying was revealed concerning alcoholic beverages and gambling, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:219,
يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. They ask you concerning alcoholic drink and gambling, say in them is a great sin and some benefit for men, but the sin of them is greater than their benefit. You see that? Many of the companions abandoned them. Abandoned them when they looked at the comparison. And the intellectual person, when he compares things, will never give preponderance and great weight to the side of sin and the side of evil. Even though the shara, the legislation, may not come in particularization of certain things, but the person of sound intellect is able to distinguish between the harmful and the beneficial. The 19th matter, they pass the word to one another and they preserve it and use it as evidence for other lies, because this is their merchandise. Had their merchandise been all lies, it would not spread amongst the people. People will be no need of it. The 10th matter is affirming the attributes of Allah in contrast to the Ash'arites and in opposition to the negation of the Ash'arites. The Ash'arites are those who attribute themselves to Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, and they were called Mu'attila, negators or people of denial, because they deprive the texts of their intended meanings, and also they negate what Allah described Himself with. And what is intended, that they do so, this negation, regarding most of the attributes. They don't negate all the attributes, but regard most of the attributes. In contrast with the Mu'tazilites, they negate the attributes and they believe in the names. This is in general. This is regarding their common ones. But with respect to their excessive ones of the Mu'tazilites, they even deny the names. As to the Ash'arites, they are Mu'attila in general, in most of the attributes, because they don't affirm from the attributes except 7 attributes. And the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. And their affirmation of this 7 is not like the way of affirmation by the Salaf. For example, the speech with Ahl Sunnah, Allah's speech with Ahl Sunnah, is that Allah speaks by His will, by sound, and by letters. While the Ash'arites, they say the speech of Allah is His, is an attribute of inherent of the self, like the attribute of al-haya, life and knowledge, and that He does not speak by His will, and that what is heard to them is ibara an kalamillah, is a denotion of Allah's speech, but not His speech. Rather, it is created. So in reality, they did not affirm the speech. And that's why some of them said, there is no difference between us and the Mu'tazilites regarding the speech of Allah, because we are all in agreement that whatever is in between the bounds of the Mus'haf is created. And their proof or evidence for affirming the seven attributes, they said that they are proven by intellect. And their misconception regarding the denial of the rest, they said, they claimed that the intellect does not denote them. And this is refuted as follows. First, that the intellect indicates or proves the seven attributes. It does not mean that it negates the other attributes. That is because if the intellect does not denote the rest of the attributes, then the texts denote that. So we affirm them by the textual proofs. You understand this? This is one element of the response. This is assuming, okay, we are saying assuming that the intellect does not denote the attributes, but they are denoted by the assam', the textual proofs. So we affirm them by the textual proofs. You see that? This is only hypothetical. Assume that the intellect does not denote the rest of the attributes, then we respond by saying the sam', the texts, denote them and prove them and establish them. You understand? Okay. The second thing. The rest of the attributes, are affirmed by the intellectual proofs in the same manner that you affirmed the seven of yours, the seven attributes to Allah, which you affirmed. Example, the will. They affirm the will to Allah by what they refer as a dalil of takhsis, an evidence of specification to that will, to the will. How? They say in the sense that Allah, for example, made the sun a sun, the moon a moon, the heavens a heaven, the earth an earth, and that the fact that Allah distinguishes between them indicates that Allah intends. You see this? This is their argument for affirming the attributes. You see this? You see this? We applied it now to one attribute, the attribute of the will. And they said, you know, had it not been for the will, then the whole worldly life will be the same. You see that? So now they affirm the will, the attribute of the will. Why? Because the intellect denoted it in accordance with this argument that you have heard. Is that clear? This is their argument. Now let us see how this argument will go with respect to the other attributes. The same argument, you know, the other attributes can be proven by the same argument. So we say to them, Ar-Rahmah, mercy. Mercy is an attribute of Allah, right? No single moment passes on the creation except that they are under the ni'mah of Allah. Ni'am. They are under Allah's favors. So these great favors from Allah denote or prove His mercy to His creation. This is even more or stronger as a proof from your particularization regarding the will. Also, avenging the rebellions is a proof that Allah hates them. Rewarding the obedient and raising them to levels, higher levels in this life and the hereafter, proves His love of them. And this is more particular than your argument regarding particularization with respect to the attribute of the will. And accordingly, you can take it to the rest of the attributes. So therefore, we conclude the same thing, therefore. The same argument of yours, but rather even stronger. That it stands intellectually as well, to prove the rest of the attributes. The 21st matter is that the explicit statement that the trembling and the sawing away and the unconsciousness takes a place due to fear from Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is evidence for the greatness of Allah, most magnificent and most high. The 22nd, that they fall in prostration to Allah, magnify as a magnification of Him, and to protect from that which they may fear. So this indicates the greatness of Allah, like the other previous benefits which we discussed and proofs. This brings the end of this chapter 16, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next chapter we will talk about the next title by the author, Al-Shafa'a, Intercession. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa sallama tasliman kathira.